The views and opinions expressed on Unlock Your Wealth Radio are those of the host, guests, and callers only, and not necessarily the views of Unlock Your Wealth Radio, Heather Wagenhals, or Success Publishing International.
More willpower than a barefoot woman at a shoe sale. Able to stretch a single paycheck for an entire month. Makes money concepts easier than third grade math. Introducing your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals.
Work all day, stress all night, take your mind off your money, focus on your life. Money don't matter or the stuff it bought, it's the way you think, not what you've got, yeah.
Unlock Your Wealth Radio starts now.
Get your money mind right.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We are so glad you stopped by. Today, we have an incredible show in store for you, and to help me bring it to you, I will be joined by my illustrious producer and country music sensation, Jeremy Shane Murphy.
Hello.
And we have an incredible show on tap for you today. We have our key, which is no seasonal exceptions. This is an important one for those of you who have been with us since the beginning of the season, because as you know, last week we broke the budget, and in doing so, we created a healthy savings and spending plan. And one of those things that gets in the way are seasonal exceptions, and we're going to show you how the rules of etiquette are going to help you maintain that quality savings and spending plan. We also have Jeremy Shane's Money Word of the Day, and we're going to talk about risk and specifically spreading and mitigating it. We also have Minutes on Your Money today. Would you skip retirement? I know a certain class of people that are. And our trivia question is about last week's show, Break the Budget. And we have an incredible guest and a speaker and author will be joining us today, Lakeisha Womack. As always, we will talk about your money, your credit, and how to get ahead in any economy. And we will also show you how to manage your money easier, saving time and reducing stress using these proven techniques for you to create unlimited wealth and happiness, all in 60 short but very entertaining minutes.
Sounds like a deal.
I'm thinking you're a buyer. So, do you remember anything specific about last week's show and breaking the budget?
Well, I remember very many parts of it.
Why don't you share one of those parts? What was your nugget, your golden nugget of information you walked away with?
How about the aha moment when you realize, wait a minute, is this what I've been doing?
Yes, very good. I like that. The aha moment. Or it's more like an uh-oh moment.
Whoops.
Yeah. So, well, if you listened last week, you are in good stead because you have a chance to win fabulous prizes. Insiders Club members are always entered into weekly giveaways, but if you are not a member and would still like to compete for great money management tools, we have a trivia question for you to answer. And this week's trivia question is, we are looking for the when and why we spend in our savings and spending trackers. What is the purpose that we look for those two things? Do you remember?
Yep.
And?
I'm not going to say.
It's only one word.
Not going to say.
Okay.
My lips are sealed.
Okay. Well, in the event that you might have the right answer, since Jeremy Shane isn't spilling the beans, you may call in, chat in, or email in to win. If you'd like to call in, that number is 1-866-966-9420. That's 1-866-966-9420. Or visit me in the chat room. I'm here live. Or you can email in to win if you are listening from a podcast, because someone may not have called in during the show and answered correctly, so that means you still can win. All you have to do is send an email to trivia@uywradio.com. That's trivia@uywradio.com. Good luck and enter early and often. That includes you, Bergeron, who's been slacking for the last couple of weeks. I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
Brother Bergeron. So, Shane, would you skip retirement?
Me personally? Probably not.
Yeah, see, I probably would because...
And the funny...
I like
don't skip retirement?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I thought you meant the other way. Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't plan on retiring.
Okay. Well, today's Minutes on Your Money is about who is and who isn't.
Well, you are right.
Would you like to share?
Yes, I would, as a matter of fact.
That is
the Business Insider Smart Investor. That's where this came from.
Nice.
Why wealthy people would willingly skip retirement. There's a few reasons. Number one, how many people do you think actually can retire nowadays?
Even if you're wealthy?
Mm-hmm. See, here's the thing. Believe it or not, and this is my... I like to jab people whenever I possibly can because it's fun and it makes them mad and then they like to have conversations with me after that.
I'll give you a piece of their mind.
Yeah. I'm going to poke some fun at a couple of my more liberal friends.
Mm-hmm.
As we've had discussions about this. They absolutely do not like rich people, and they believe rich people should spread the wealth a little bit more to the poor people and not. They think that they basically don't really earn it. This is the feedback that my particular friends have told me. That doesn't mean everybody else feels that
way. Are these initials DT?
Yes.
I don't know. Ding, 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 ding. I got a prize.
But I have other people that have told me the same thing. But the point is that, okay, so I'm going to go past that. So they basically have told me, other people as well, that they believe rich people just have money, that they don't earn it. They sit around and don't do anything. And the truth is, and especially here's a confirmation that what I believed in this article that says that the top 15% of earners that are in this thing in America, let's just say
income
America,
earners.
Okay, income earners. We're not talking about the 1%ers. We're talking about the top 15% here.
Because the 1%ers are the trust funds.
Yeah, they're like the uber wealthy plantation home,
yeah.
Had their money before they came to America 400
Five
years
generations.
Ago. You know, yeah,
yeah,
that type of people. Anyway, the top 15% actually made their money on their own. They worked hard. They got their education that they needed, and they busted their butts and built their companies or their income or whatever it is. And so, therefore, having built this lifestyle, they know that it takes work to earn the type of money that they have.
Okay.
They know that if they retire, what happens?
Well, the money stops.
Right. No more income. So they've built this lifestyle based around a certain income. And let's just use the example of $800,000 a year. That's a lot of money. Okay?
Yeah.
But how would you like to go from making $800,000 a year to making $0 a year?
Well, I would get Social
or
Security
very little.
At that point, right?
Yeah, like $400 or $500 a month. I mean,
I go from $800,000 to
$800 a month.
Yeah.
So the point is that most people...
I'm thinking, how am I going to make $800,000 work?
I could probably eat ramen noodles.
Yeah.
Live with my mom. I don't know. Point is,
your mom's so nice.
Yeah, I know. I'd have to share my ramen noodles, though, I believe.
Yeah, she would.
So anyway, these people associate work with income. And so for them to quit and to retire is not really feasible because they enjoy having that income.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can imagine that because when you get to a certain lifestyle, and I think about the things that, you know, when I didn't have money, and when I got divorced and lost all my money, had to start all over, I know how that felt, and I know that now I am where I am. I'm not going backwards, and so in order for me to enjoy the things that I have now or expand my lifestyle, I'm going to have to run on my little habit trail, you know, Ferris wheel thing, faster.
Correct.
Yeah. And I'm like the hamster in the wheel, so I got to keep going.
Now, obviously, we're just talking about the top group of earners as an example. And there's obviously way more people in the bottom 85% than there are in the top 15%. So
right.
That's basically what this article is based around. However, there are a lot of people, just regular people like myself, for example, that still don't plan on retiring because they know that anything could happen. You know, you just never know. I mean,
well, that's not why I wouldn't retire. I mean, I joke about the money thing, but you know, I don't even feel like working is work because we have so much fun with what we do.
I think what I was referring to is more like the people that don't like their jobs. You know, the guys that work at the post office, maybe. I might be wrong, but
my postman loves his job. He comes zippity doo dah.
I have a feeling the guys behind the counter at the post office don't like dealing with me when I come in. Maybe
well,
it's
that's just because
me.
They don't like dealing with you, but that doesn't mean the rest of the public.
What about, okay, how about the DMV?
yeah, they still don't like you.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just kidding. But everybody loves you. They buy your records like crazy. What do you mean?
Some people do.
You're super popular. So.
Okay, so moving right along now.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. We have so much more in store. We have Lakeisha Womack joining us. And this week's key, no seasonal exceptions. So don't touch that dial. Stay tuned for more Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up right after this.
Hey, I'm over here.
Hey, roll up the windows. I'm going to turn on the radio.
This stuff sucks. Change it.
Yeah, it does. There's got to be something decent on here somewhere.
You're listening to Jeremy Sharon, 102.5.
Love me. Hey, how's that?
There you go. No, never mind. I don't like that
Baby,
one.
Maybe I'm no I couldn't care less what you think or
Jeez, is that the only guy on the radio? Who is that?
That's Jeremy Shane. He's everywhere nowadays. Ooh, I like this one. Do you?
Yeah, leave it there.
Watch for the cover of Project by Jeremy Shane at jeremyshanemusic.com.
This is how it's gonna go. I'm leaving today. There's nothing you can do. Nothing left to say.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now! For $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals, and I am flanked by a country music sensation, Jeremy Shane Murphy.
Yeehaw.
Yes.
That didn't sound very cowboy, did it?
How about, like, just, you want a do-over?
Yeehaw.
That sounded exactly the same.
Oh, shoot. Well, at least I'm consistent.
Well, we can say that. So, I believe you have a moolah word of the day.
Yes, I do.
Would you like to share it with us?
Okay, that sounds nice. Diversification. Do you know what that is?
Perhaps.
Okay, how about I clarify?
Yeah, why don't you share it with us?
Diversification. A portfolio strategy designed to reduce exposure to risk by combining a variety of investments, such as stocks, bonds, and real estate, which are unlikely to all move in the same direction. Yes,
I'm reading
that.
At the same time.
Yes, I'm reading this. The goal of diversification is to reduce the risk in a portfolio. Volatility is limited by the fact that not all asset classes or industries or individual companies move up and down in value at the same time or at the same rate. Diversification reduces both the upside and downside potential and allows for more consistent performance under a wide range of economic conditions.
Well, thank you for sharing today's tongue twister. Now, would you like to get to the moolah word of the day?
The moolah word of the day. You know what I would like to do?
What?
Experience more diversification.
Yes.
Well, I just used the word. You said
Yeah, that's about what I was saying. La 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 la. I was getting excited for Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Diversification is important. That's the whole, like, don't put all your eggs in one basket kind of gig.
And yeah, because if the bottom falls out of that basket, what you got?
Scrambled eggs.
A holy basket.
You do have a holy basket. So redemption might be around the corner, but you have lost your principal, and that would not be good. So diversification helps us to reduce our risk by spreading it over a bunch of different things or the same things, but which are less likely to move at the same time. So thank you for sharing. You know who we have on today's show? I'm so excited to bring to you. You know who's coming on?
Lakeisha Womack.
I like the way you said that.
I can say it like that again. Maybe she'll like it too.
Okay, say it again.
Lakeisha Womack.
Ooh, how about a radio, like a movie trailer guy?
And coming up next is Lakeisha Womack.
Yay! Where's Pocket Audience?
Oh, I don't know where they're at.
Did you lose them?
No. Let's bring her on, though.
Okay, that sounds good. Welcome to the show, Lakeisha.
Thanks, Heather. Such a pleasure to be on today.
I am so glad you stopped by to join us to talk about Money Matters, which is the title of not one, not two, but three of your books. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I felt crazy when I was writing them, but it was definitely a labor of love.
Well, I can tell. Can you give us a little bit of your background and what kind of got you interested in Money Matters?
Sure. When I lived in Nashville, I'm in Alabama currently, but I lived in Nashville and I worked as a financial advisor with American Express Financial Advisors, which is what they were called at the time, and
oh,
now they're
funny.
Ameriprise.
I was with American Express myself.
Oh, cool. Small world. And I was working with high net worth individuals and helping them to, you know, manage their finances and invest for their children's college education and retirement. And then I moved to Alabama and just being in a different environment. I live in a very small rural town and I see so many people that do not have a good grasp of their financial situation. And when I would try to talk to them about it, it was always, well, I'll start saving when this happened, or I can't afford to save. And there are always like all these excuses. And so I kind of decided that I wanted to write a book about money because I had all this knowledge and I wanted to share it with people. But then I realized that, you know, there's so many books out there about money. So I, you know, I really started to reflect on what can I do that will be different from what else is already out on the market. And that's how My Money Matters came to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a phenomenal job that you've done, but what an incredible undertaking because, you know, your books aren't just for adults. You've got books for Money Matters with kids and teens. Why did you bring those two into the fold?
Well, there are a couple of different reasons, but one, you know, when you're writing a book, and especially I'm being a self-published author, I knew I would have to market the books myself, and so I kind of gathered a focus group through Facebook and LinkedIn, and I started asking, you know, what age group should we start teaching financial literacy just so that I could kind of pinpoint who I would be writing to, and I was really amazed at how many people said that children needed to learn financial literacy, and the more I started thinking about it, I started to think about why our country is in this situation. situation that we're in. And a lot of parents are unable to teach their children about money matters because they don't have a good grasp on their own financial situations. And so if your parents are spenders and not savers, then more than likely you're going to either grow up to follow their footsteps or you're going to go in the extreme, as is the case with so many of our other issues. But so many kids follow their parents' financial footsteps. And so I wanted to create some type of tool that a family could sit down together and work on. So the theory is, you know, if the parents are working on their situation and you have a kid, or even if you have a kid that's in college, then everyone can have the workbook. And each week, the lesson that you're learning is the same, except the information is targeted to that age group. So, like, if you're talking about investing, then I kind of broke it down in very simple language for the kids, but a little bit more complex for the parents, so that everyone can start to have a conversation about their money matters.
What do you think the first thing is, or perhaps it's the way you have it structured in your workbook, what's the first thing that you tackle, whether it's the kids' books or the adults? What do you think, what do you address first?
Learning how to budget. We focus on the basic money management principle, which is I will not spend more than I earn. And that's a problem that most people have, is that, you know, they're spending more money than they earn. And with adults, especially, the way we do our budgets is we budget for all the major expenses, but then we forget about the trips to Walmart or the, you know, going to Pizza Hut and different things like that. And a lot of times we allow our kids to do the same thing, where, you know, we talk about the big expenses, but that quarter that you put in the bubblegum machine, that's not in the budget. Or, oh, you're going to spend a dollar on an ice cream cone, that's not in the budget. And so kids also follow that same habit of where you look at the biggest expenses, but it's really like those small 25-cent, $1, $2 that eat away at your budget. So just helping people to figure out, you know, how do I get a handle on how much money I actually have and how much I'm spending?
I think that that's really great advice. You know, and as I was thinking about it, I just drew an interesting correlation between, you know, relationships and money. And, you know, it's never the big things
right.
that break a marriage. It's always right. the little things. Like, I know for me, it was, you know, my husband leaving his sneakers out and I kept tripping over him because he was like only like 15 more feet from the closet. How can he could not put those in there?
Right.
But it was all those little things that really crushed
right.
my marriage. And those, you're so right by identifying that those little things, because we don't think about it. It's 50 cents. It's, you know,
right.
$2. But before
right.
you
those
know
are things
it,
that crush your budget.
Yeah, they add up. They add up. That's,
right.
that's it's great that you identified that in the spending pattern. So when you think about, okay, how do we move from identifying that to creating a healthy budget?
Well, in the workbook, each week you budget. And that was another issue that I saw with people, is that they would create a monthly budget. And what happens is at the beginning of the month, you write down, you know, all the money that you have to spend. And most of the time we budget to basically a zero sum. So if you have $1,500 coming in, you spent down to $1,500 without accounting for those little things that eat away at your budget. And at some point during the month, you may get off track with your budget. And what happens, instead of like recorrecting your course, you just say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll start back again next month. And after a couple of months of being in that cycle and the budget's not working, then you stop budgeting and you just go into a free fall. So the workbook is broken down into weekly budgets. So each week you budget, okay, how much money do I have coming in this week? And if you don't have any money coming in, then you should have some money left from last week. And then you list like what bills are due, or for the kids, if they get a weekly allowance, you know, this is how much of an allowance I'm getting. You know, if there's a book fair this coming week, if we're taking pictures, if I'm going to my friend's house for a sleepover, you know, list the things that you're going to be doing for that week and the cost associated with those things, so that you can start to identify, if I have a certain number of dollars and I have these activities, you know, how much can I afford to spend in advance on these things? Can I do all the things that I want to do? And if not, you know, to be able to start making those decisions in the beginning rather than doing the things that you have to do in the end.
I feel like Carl Jung is at work right now in the collective unconscious, because you and I are totally on the same page about this.
Yes.
I'm so excited to have this conversation and to hear that somebody else kind of sees things for what it is, too. And it's just, it's amazing the way you're thinking. And I have a litany more questions when we get back from the break. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio and Lakeisha Womack. We'll be right back with more coming up after this.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches, whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S. Industries.com. Like, go there totally.
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com. Or call 480-926-6666.
Hey, I'm over here.
Hey, roll up the windows. I'm going to turn on the radio.
This stuff sucks. Change it.
Yeah, it does. There's got to be something decent on here somewhere.
You're listening to Jeremy Sharon, 102.5.
Love me. Hey, how's that?
There you go. No, never mind. I don't like that one. Jeez, is that the only guy on the radio? Who is that?
That's Jeremy Shane. He's everywhere nowadays. Ooh, I like this one. Do you?
Yeah, leave it there.
Watch for the Covert Project by Jeremy Shane at JeremyShaneMusic.com.
This is how it's gonna go. I'm leaving, leaving today. There's nothing you can do. Nothing left to say.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals, and I am joined today with Lakeisha Womack, and we were talking My Money Matters and kids and teens and adults before the break. And Lakeisha, what do you think the biggest difference is the way you would teach your children about money versus your teenagers about money?
Well, I think it's really funny the way we handle children and teens. It's like as kids, we spoil them and we give them everything. And then it's like at some point when they become teenagers, we expect them to become this responsible person that's totally self-reliant and independent of us. So I think it's important when we're teaching our kids about money that we teach them to be responsible at a young age, and not to believe that money grows on trees and that they can have, you know, anything that they want when they want it. And so one of the ways I address that in the workbook is I have the kids ask their parents about money issues. So they may ask their parents 1 week, you know, what is your purpose for saving? What are some goals that you have for your money? Because we often make our kids think that our money is for them, that, you know, everything that we do is to give them a better life so that they can have things, and we neglect ourselves so that we can give to our kids. But then when they become teenagers, then we expect them to automatically shift that mindset and not need us anymore. So I think it's important that as kids, we start to help them to see the bigger picture, not necessarily to put the burden of our financial situations on them, but for them to see that as a family, we all have to work together, and that means financially also. And I think that that will help them to become more aware as teenagers, and then it's not as hard when we say, okay, now, you know, it's time for you to start to take on a little bit more responsibility, because they understand why.
I think you identified it very well. It's not such a jarring transition, and you're right. You know, when we're born, we have to bond with our mothers, and, you know, understand that our survival is dependent upon these big people around us until we can walk and talk and function for ourselves. But we still need, you know, that guidance. But I'm really impressed with your take on that. So what would be some things that you would want to teach small children about money? How do you introduce a program or maybe your workbook? How do you address money initially? You've got the questions. What else do you teach children?
Well, I teach them about understanding the difference between a want and a need. I think that's very important also, because a lot of times, especially in school, you know, there are so many opportunities for them to spend money. And I've done workshops with kids where, you know, we talk about their allowance and then them going to school. And some kids, like, let's say they want a hot dog, but there aren't hot dogs available. There's only popcorn. Well, if they have $2, they're going to buy the popcorn even though they didn't want it. And then when something comes along that they actually need, like new pencils for school, well, they didn't think, hey, you know, maybe I could have saved the money because I really didn't want the popcorn so that I can buy my own pencils, but they just expect, like, their parents to purchase them. So the book, over the course of a few weeks, kind of goes through that. You know, how do I identify the difference between a want and a need, and how do I discipline myself so that I can start to save my money for some of the smaller things that I can purchase and that I can do with my own money, as well as, you know, giving to people. You know, a lot of times we don't teach our kids about, you know, giving gifts to their friends that they've paid for. And it's amazing to me how much pride kids have. And, you know, if they're able to save their own money and they go into the store and they buy, you know, the gifts for themselves, like how much more they appreciate it and how much more pride they have versus us doing everything for them. So just some of those little steps of teaching them about the value of money, not just, hey, you know, a dollar is a dollar, but what does that mean? And to be able to do things for yourself with your own money. And kids spend their money a whole lot more different than they spend your money. So the more you can empower them to make those decisions with their own money, the better money managers they'll be, because they don't care about your money.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's the difference, you know. Well, Mom, can I have the Air Jordans? They're like, you got allowance. You take care of it. They're like, well, I think I'll just get the kids then.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, the more decisions like that we can empower them to make on their own and to help them to see, you know, the difference. Like, you know, if it's their money, they don't want to spend $100 on sneakers. If it's their money, they'll spend $20 and they're just as happy with the shoes. So, you know, we have to allow them to make more of those decisions.
Yeah, I think that that's important. And, you know, what's great is the financial education and teaching about money to the kids. You know, you mentioned it. It's also building their self-esteem. Now they're getting pride of, like, ownership and workmanship, because there's
right.
a value associated with it, because they had to save or do dishes for a month or whatever it
right.
was. Now they're able to afford what it is that they wanted, and they can go, and they have a sense of pride within themselves and a level of self-esteem that they wouldn't have achieved otherwise. And I think that that's great.
Exactly. And we also talk a lot about saving because we're not a society that saves. And so teaching kids the importance of saving and allowing them to have, you know, that money build up so that if something happens and, you know, let's say that there is a trip to Florida that they want to go on, that, you know, they can have their own money to spend. And, you know, if they want to buy, you know, some sunglasses that are $20 that you think are totally ridiculous, you know, they can say, well, you know, it's my money and I can buy the sunglasses. And hopefully, you know, that won't come off as a defiant attitude, but just an empowering attitude that, hey, you know, I took the time to save my money and I saw something that I wanted and I was able to buy it without, you know, anyone having any input. And as they become adults, you know, those are the kind of decisions that even as adults we want to be able to make, to go to a car dealership and buy the car that we want and not the car that we have to get because it's all that we can afford.
Right. I love the way you think. So when we talk about teens now, so we're switching gears. So let's say
Right. We
didn't get your My Money Matters Kids book. So we're like, whoops, missed that boat. Now
Right. We're
just we're stuck with these teens, but we found you now. So how do you teach teens differently than kids if they don't have that foundation that was laid in your first book?
Well, with the teens, we focus more on goals, you know, talking about who do you want to be in the future? You know, what kind of life do you want to have? And that's one of the things that a lot of adults that I talk to say, you know, if I knew then what I know now, how differently I would have spent my money and spent my time. And so I talk to them about setting smart goals for their money, you know, thinking about, you know, if you want to go to, you know, college and you know that, you know, you want to spend, say, $100 a month, how much money do I need to start saving today so that I'll have that money and I don't have to call and ask my parents for money? If you want to buy a car and your parents say, okay, if you save, you know, $2,000, then I'll match your $2,000. How do I go about saving that $2,000 so that at a certain date I'll have that money? So just helping them to see, you know, not only where they are today in their financial situation, but how saving and investing and making good money decisions can help them in the future. So we go into credit. We talk a little bit about investing, helping them to, you know, look at investments and how they perform over time. So it's very interactive, lots of writing in the book for all the age groups so that it's not just something that you read and put away, but you can actually read and work through your thoughts with it.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. You know, the one phrase, it's a two-word phrase that comes to mind between what you were talking about, the adults to begin with and then the kids and teens, is really understanding opportunity cost.
Right.
I think
Right.
that's the underlying message, and it's about your choices. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, Lakeisha. If folks want more information about what you do or finding your books, where can they do that?
You can find me online at LakeishaWomack.com, LakeishaWomack. Everything about the workbooks is on the website. If you want to book me for a workshop to come and talk to your kids or your teens about money, I love doing that. It's so amazing to see just like that bulb flash in their eyes, like when they start to understand budgeting, because a lot of them have never been taught about a family budget and how much the electricity and the mortgage and all that cost, and then, you know, just like their role in the budget. So I love doing workshops with the kids, and of course you can buy the books for your teen groups or kids groups and work on them with the kids.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And for those of you driving around without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is here, where you can find linky links to all of Lakeisha's goodies. We will be right back with more Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up right after this.
Hey, I'm over here.
Hey, roll up the windows. I'm going to turn on the radio.
This stuff sucks. Change it.
Yeah, it does. There's got to be something decent on here somewhere.
You're listening to Jeremy Sharon, 102.5.
Love me. Hey, how's that?
There you go. No, never mind. I don't like that one.
I couldn't care less what you think.
Jeez, is that the only guy on the radio? Who is that?
That's Jeremy Shane. He's everywhere nowadays. Ooh, I like this one. Do you?
Yeah, leave it there.
Watch for the COVID project by Jeremy Shane at jeremyshanemusic.com.
This is how it's gonna go. I'm leaving, leaving today. There's nothing you can do. Nothing left to say.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Greenback is your neighborhood lender for auto title loans. We offer fast and easy cash title loans for cars, trucks, and motorcycles. Keep your car with title loans from $100 to $50,000. There are no year or mileage limits at Greenback, and we offer the cheapest rates in Arizona, guaranteed. For more information, visit greenbacktitleloans.com or call 480-926-6666.
Commander Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Seminars. What I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Kathy Colby all had coaches, whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your maven of moolah, the Wagon Halls, and I am flanked by the ever-popular super crooner, Jeremy Shane Murphy.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I need voice lessons.
Well, go get some.
Well, I will. Now that you mention it, I should.
Yes, you probably should.
I would like to sing, like, half as good as you.
Well, that's not very good.
Why? You're great.
Did I ever tell you about how many times I actually got paid to sing? Every time I go out, they actually pay me to not sing.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, well, what do you do?
I don't believe you. You know, you got like 2.4 million plays on, what is it, MySpace?
Yeah, that was years ago when MySpace was cool.
Yeah, but well, why isn't it still not cool?
Because it's not cool anymore.
All right, well, what's cool? What should we listen to hear you?
Good question.
Perhaps SoundCloud?
Okay.
Where the radio show is also?
Yeah, sure.
The SoundCloud's pretty fabulous. Yeah, that's us. Fabulous.
Moving right along now.
Would you like to do this week's King?
Go for it.
Why don't you do it?
No, you do it.
No, you do it. Don't give me that smirk. All right, I'll do it since nobody else is stepping up. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad you stopped by for a little bit of financial enlightenment. The keys to riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, building wealth while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that 1 week at a time, one key at a time. And we are now on our eighth key in the Keys to Riches, and that would be no seasonal exceptions. So for those of you that were with us last week, we broke our budget and created a healthy savings and spending plan. Now, we won't want to derail that, would we? That would be negative, Ghost Rider. So we need to have seasonal exceptions trimmed down to like nothing. And what I mean by seasonal exceptions is when we make excuses or justifications for spending for seasonal reasons. So let me ask you this, Jeremy Shane. When does Christmas come?
December.
December what?
25th.
This year?
Every year.
Oh, okay. So like on December 26th, how many days are left before Christmas gets here again?
364.
Okay. So
unless it's a leap year.
Ah, you're on the ball.
Right.
I'm impressed. So, yeah, so it could be 365 every 4 years. So if you've got 364 days, is it a surprise when Christmas gets around?
Nope.
So then why do we make exceptions to our budget?
Because. Just what did I say today? Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Ding, ding, ding. Very good. And once we've taken all of this time, if you think about it, for those of you who have been with us since the beginning of the season or beyond, you've worked so hard to get where you are, to actually figure out the kinks in your finances, where you're going wrong, all of these little quirky things that we've been able to overcome until this point. And then we have a birthday or a bar or bat mitzvah or a quinceañera or something that we have to celebrate to take us off our mark. And we've worked so hard, yet why do we do that? Why do you think we do that, Jeremy Shane?
Because that's what we're used to doing. We don't think about it.
But, I mean, is there, like, if you're caught, like, let's say, all right, okay, well, it's my birthday coming up. And it's November 3rd, in case you forgot. So, like, now we're in August, right?
Correct.
So you have time to save, right?
Right.
So you can get me something really fabulous, right?
No.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I can.
Okay, because you are, right? So what happens when it gets like if my birthday's on November 3rd and you want to buy me something fabulous, like, why do you want to buy me something fabulous?
Why not?
But I'm trying to explore some motivations. Why do we buy people things? You know, giving isn't about the recipient. It's about the giver. It's about being remembered, or it's about being gratified by that person, venerated in some way. So, like, if I see this really cool, like, I don't know, something having to do with music, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, that's perfect for Jeremy Shane. And so, like, if it's like an instrument or a piece of equipment or software or a plugin, since I know that you love plugins, like if I got you a cool plugin that did like all this neat stuff, every time you used it, you'd be like super excited, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then what else would happen?
I would be grateful that I have it.
Ding, 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 ding. So when I give you that plugin, of course, it's useful to you, but I get remembered every time you use it. You'd be like,
but what if I forgot who gave it to me? And I'm like, man, whoever gave this to me was awesome.
Well, I'd be really disappointed if I gave it to you, but you get the point. So, you know, giving is about the giver. And when someone gives you something, that's what the motivation is. It's to be remembered. So when we understand what our motivation is, it's when we go big or go over the top, like I know you are going to go over the top for my birthday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, like, it's because you want me to remember you in an extra special way, like, because you're more fabulous than everybody else because you gave me a more extravagant present. Now, if you go into debt to do that, here's the flip side, is people don't think about this. If you were to receive something very extravagant and you know somebody had to go into debt, you wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want somebody to go into debt.
You would feel guilty about it. Or at least I would.
You'd feel bad. You'd be like, oh, you didn't have to do that. And that person is giving, not because I'm receiving, but because they're giving. And so we got to understand that. On the flip side, you know, when we say we want abundance in our lives, but we don't allow people to give back to us, we're stopping that karmic flow of energy. And in order to be a gracious giver and to be the one that takes care of everybody, we have to be gracious recipients. What you're saying about the bucket, you always have to fill your bucket before you can fill others. So if we're not receiving and giving only, we've got that lopside to contend with. But if we don't refill our buckets, then we're not going to be as gracious givers as we should be. So we have to understand what our motivation is to give, first off, and then we have to look at what's realistic for us with our financial resources. If we do not create a holiday spending tracker, which we have a fabulous one for download on the website, by the way, at unlockyourwealthradio.com, so I could just throw that in there.
Sweet.
Yeah, so you can start to track and plan for all of these things. We've got every single holiday, Valentine's, Mother's Day, Grandparents' Day, the whole deal. And, you know, you just create how much you think you want to spend, and then you can break it down until the next time that event comes around so you can start a realistic savings plan and be able to get there. But, you know, what about those unplanned expenses? So here's what we have for you in that situation is we have our card up philosophy. And because as a recipient, you would not want somebody going into debt for you, but you would still like to receive things, you need to start by commemorating the event with just a card. And so when we evaluate how much do I have to give, especially if it's unplanned, you know, if it's you just found out a friend that you haven't seen for a while is having a baby shower because she's going to have a baby, obviously it's time, like you can't plan for that. So you don't have an opportunity. So let's start with a card and move forward. Because as a recipient, would you want that person to be with you to celebrate your special event, like graduation or a wedding? Or would you want something from them?
I would personally want them just to be with me.
Exactly. So it's about that. People don't always remember the stuff, but they remember the time. So we start with a card, and we decide, okay, so I'm going to get a card to commemorate this event. Maybe I'll write a little story or a quick poem or something nice so it's memorable. And then I'm going to be with them for the event. And then if the event requires a gift of some sort, then find what works within your finances or be creative. And that's how you are able to maintain your budgets and in your savings and spending plan for your future and your family's future and still be able to recognize and commemorate other people's special events without going crazy. And etiquette says don't go at spending. You know, if you're trying to impress somebody, they're going to know you're probably not rich. And so they're going to not expect a fabulous present. And I just want to say one last thing about that is if somebody is expecting a fabulous present on November 3rd for her birthday, then you really have to evaluate, is that person somebody that you should be buying for like that? Like, what is your role in that relationship?
What's going to be funny is how many, like, gifts you might be just getting in the mail or emails you're going to get anyway because now you've been announcing your birthday.
So November 3rd.
People.
Was that the November 3rd date?
What date is that?
My birthday.
Oh.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I forgot already.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't beat it with a dead horse. But you see the point that I'm illustrating? If somebody's only concerned about receiving something from you and it better be fabulous or else, you need to reevaluate that relationship because that may not even be a healthy or productive relationship for you and is going to get you into financial trouble. So that's it for this week's key. For this week's key statement, key affirmation, and key action item, visit our website at unlockyourwealthradio.com and click on the This Week's Key tab. And for more in-depth interviews with money experts, strategies, and members-only tools to fix your credit, get out of debt, and have more money and happiness, do what other savvy listeners have and visit unlockyourwealthradio.com, where you go to get your money mind right so your wealth and happiness will follow. For Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I'm Heather Wagenhall.
And I'm Jeremy Shane.
Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthRadio.com is produced by Shane Murphy. UnlockYourWealthRadio.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2013 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com.